in our journey through the Easter season. As you've recognized, the first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, that book written by Luke, continues his gospel and informs us of what was going on in the early church. And Peter, standing up in front of his brothers and indeed in front of the whole community, reminding them of who they are, where they came from, and what they should believe. He's reminding them that they're now different, having encountered Jesus Christ. They're different now in their manner in which they practice their faith. He reminds them that Jesus was spoken about in the Old Testament. In our gospel reading today is the wonderful story about Emmaus, the two men on the road on the way. Many of us have probably started a project or tried to finish a task, and when you're done, you look at it and look to yourself and just say, well, that didn't work out so well, or that didn't turn out like I wanted it to, or how come the baker does a better job at icing a cake than I can? We can be despondent, we can be dejected. We cannot be happy with the way the thing turned out. These two guys today, on their way back home, having experienced some time with Jesus, are completely dejected. They really thought they had something here with Jesus. He had done so much. In just 3 years, in and around the Sea of Galilee, his miracles, 80% of which were done up north in the area of Capernaum. And now he was in Jerusalem. He was it, they thought. This was the guy. This was the Messiah. But then he's put to death. And that's the end of the story for them. They thought. They've cashed in their chips. They've punched out. They're going home. It's done. But then this miracle occurs. And to help put this in the timeline, this miracle occurs on Sunday night because they said, today one of ours went to the tomb and it was empty. This morning they went. And now these guys, it's not going to happen. Jesus is gone. But they've got this glimmer of hope that he appeared to Peter. So why are they going home? How many of us have failed to see that thing which is right in front of us? You know, it's been said that those individuals that come from a different country go through the process it takes to become a citizen of the United States, and they raise their hand and they become a U.S. citizen, are sometimes better citizens than those of us born in the country. It's also been said that those folks that come into the Catholic Church from another faith tradition are better Catholics because they want what we have. They see the beauty, the elegance, the truth in what they want that we often take for granted. You've been on a walk with Jesus since your baptism. Are you able to see and appreciate and understand what's been going on? Or think about those travels with Jesus and his apostles. Those hours and hours they'd be walking places. There was no other way to get there. And Jesus, wanting to talk, wanting to visit, wanting to share with them the message that he was to deliver from his Father. Jesus had that list of things that God the Father wanted him to disclose. There were a few things God said, do not disclose. When the second coming is. And Jesus avoided the question or said he didn't know. Because there was so much more to tell. So much more to share. The entire Old Testament is about our relationship with God. This fledgling relationship at some points, this glorious relationship at others, and just other times when we just plain messed everything up. Jesus has come now. Jesus is there. Jesus is present, that we might hear from him what his Father is asking us to do. Jesus took flesh to demonstrate to us that everything the Father had asked can be accomplished. He did it just like us. Human being in all things except sin. And here he is, talking to these two guys whose faith has been shaken. Walking with them as he did with the apostles. And I've got to wonder about some of those walks. You know, walking around the Sea of Galilee through Israel for 3 years, 13 men. There had to be a practical joke or two in there someplace. That's just human nature. But then other times when Jesus is really trying to share with them. You know, he might have been talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And all these guys are thinking about is, we're hungry, where are we going to stop for lunch? He might have been wanting to talk to them about his suffering and death and what that would lead to while they're talking about, do you think Jesus likes me better than you? I'm his favorite this week. Our human nature not recognizing their humanness, not seeing Jesus for who he was, for who he is in our life. Where are you on this journey? Where are you on this walk? How much do you believe? What do you believe? Do you need to pray that your faith be increased? That you can understand that everything Jesus said and did was for you. His time on this earth to teach, to remind, to instruct, to console, to pray, to heal, to teach. That's what his whole existence was about. In those 3 short years, teaching us how to be good children of God, living up to what God had asked him to do, to demonstrate to us that we could then do. And how do we measure up? How are you on this walk? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you praying? Are you being generous with your time and your talent? Are you being of service to God and to his church and to your neighbors and to the community? Are you a wonderful, loving human being? You know, with all this talk in society today of bigotry and hatred and this and that, and you know what we're called to be as Catholics? We are called to respect each and every individual we encounter as a child of God. A human being made in his image and likeness. There's no room for all the rest of that stuff. When we treat each other as Jesus treated us, in all of his encounters, compassion, respect, love, charity, this is what we're called to do. This is who we are called to be. And can we listen to the word? Can we acknowledge the word? Do we see what's right in front of us? He's right here. We should all have a crucifix in our home. You can look at it every single day. You can see the instrument of his death. We Catholics have a crucifix in our homes, not just a cross like our Protestant brothers and sisters. Our Protestant brothers and sisters will display a cross because they know that Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. Jesus suffered, he died, but he was risen. I kind of like to coin it that we look at the crime scene. We're not going to clean up the crime scene. How many movies, how many TV shows, and God forbid you or a loved one was ever involved in some serious, horrible, tragic incident, and what does the loved one always say? I need to see them. What happened? How did it happen? I need to see it. We have the opportunity to look and gaze upon the crime scene every day. to look at what Jesus was willing to do for us, to suffer and to die in a most inhumane way possible to demonstrate his love for us. It's something when we do nice things for each other. It's even more wonderful, more amazing when someone is willing to give their life for another. And that's what Jesus did for us. He concealed his identity to these two men to help prove the point, I believe. But then when was he revealed? When did they see who he was? And this four motions, if you will, in Jesus' taking bread, in Jesus' blessing it, in Jesus' breaking it, and in his giving it to them. These are the same actions we read and hear about at the Last Supper. Those words that you're going to hear during the consecration today, when Father, acting in the person of Christ, echoes those words that Jesus said at the Last Supper. We refer to that as the institution narrative. When Jesus took bread, listen for those words. Recognize what's happening, because Jesus is once again demonstrating to these two disciples what he had done not so long earlier at the Last Supper in the institution of the Eucharist. Jesus is telling them, he's telling us, that he is our food. He is the bread of life. John's entire sixth chapter of his gospel is devoted to that topic. Jesus being the bread of life. Jesus being born in a town named Bethlehem, which means, when you translate it, house of bread. Where was Jesus laid right after he was born? In a manger. What's a manger? A feeding trough. From the moment of his birth and the location of his birth, Jesus was telling us, I am the bread of life. So in this breaking of the bread that Jesus did at the Last Supper, that he did with these gentlemen in Emmaus, that Father will do here in just a little bit, acting in persona Christi. This is the moment that's right in front of us. This is the moment that we need to recognize and realize that Jesus is here for us. And we need to be present for him. So maybe this week, if you get a moment, take a walk. See if you can hear Jesus speaking to you. Take that walk and open your heart, open your ears, open your mind to what Jesus wants you to know, how he wants to lead you and guide you to a better place, to an understanding of the kingdom, that place that we long to go to when our earthly days are finished. Because that's the ultimate retirement. Certainly, when we're 60 or 70 or 80 in this life, we can hopefully enter into that retirement phase when we don't need to worry about quite so many things. But the ultimate goal is the kingdom. This journey that we're on right now should be leading us to the kingdom. Are we oriented the correct way? Are we headed in the right direction? Are we doing the right things? So this week, try and take just a little walk. Open your mind, open your heart, and see what God is trying to communicate to you.